Tanse, hello and welcome. You're listening to Voices of Our People on the Wind Speaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker Tremblay. Today I continue my conversation with Kungjade from Squamish First Nation in British Columbia. You had mentioned, Raven's Feast, as well as you've written some other books, Gifts from the Raven, the Haida Nation, Indigenous Communities in Canada, as well as, your stories have also been featured in libraries and public schools, and of course in curriculums as well, as well as you've also been Indigenous storyteller residence within the Vancouver Public Libraries. So when you hear all those that are mentioned, what does that mean to you to see where you've come from a very young age to where you're at now, as well as, being inspired to go into the studies of, being an educator as well in regards to that? So how does that all feel?
I don't know, I guess I didn't really think about it before because I always think, well, I haven't done that much. I think there's so much more I could do, but I'm very, very slow about doing things because I'm writing a story right now. And since it's the same one since the pandemic started and there's no beginning and no end, but the middle part looks kind of good. I guess one of the things that comes to mind is, I was talking to my friend this morning about how I'm the worst self-promoter. If somebody says, well, tell me about yourself, kind of thing. I guess I was taught by my grandparents, and my parents too, in a way, not to brag about myself. It's really hard to do that. So often when I go into like a school or to a festival and somebody has a printout of my bio and they're like, well, I'm just going to read this. Or is it okay if I read it? And I'm like, no, don't read that. And one principal said to me, but this is really great. Look at, I want the students to hear about all your accomplishments. And I'm like, that's okay. I'm fine with that. And what this one principal did in particular is he just said, I just want to let you know, Kungjade is really shy about all these great things she's done. And I think I must have turned 10 shades of red or something like that. I didn't know what to say, but I said, I can't help it. It's ingrained in me from when I was, able to understand. I'm not going to say, this is me, kind of thing, and I'm so great. I can't do that. My chinny, my grandpa taught me that I don't talk about myself in that way. What's going to happen is my work will speak for itself, or maybe other people will speak about me and say something kind. If they say unkind things too, that's okay, because I know that I'm not for everybody, and that's okay. I understand completely, but I'm really, like I said, I'm the really terrible about promoting myself. I cannot do it, and that's why I have a booking agent now, because she can do it. I can't do it at all. There's just no way.
So I have to ask, because you had mentioned that, your storytelling isn't meant for everyone. However, the storytelling that you've done has impacted a lot of lives over the 30 years that you've done it. So when it comes to, you telling the stories about, not only the life experiences, the knowledge and the education, and also the culture behind it, have you, in your time in the 30 years that you've done this, have you seen an increase from the young ones that have a thirst to learn more about their culture, their background, and of course, what the Haida culture is all about, just to educate themselves further, especially during this time of truth and reconciliation?
Yeah, I've seen the Haida, and I've seen the Squamish too, and the Musqueam, and the Tsleil-Waututh. Like Indigenous nations absolutely everywhere, where there is this amazing sense of pride and ownership, from you know, when a child first comes into the world, you know, they're they've always been celebrated and such, but one of the great things that I've noticed is often, you know, right from birth sometimes, or maybe a little bit later on, they're given traditional names to use, you know, and that's one of the things that I share with audiences if, you know, if it comes out, is if I meet another Indigenous person and I find out they have a traditional name, I strongly encourage them to use it, because it used to be illegal for us to have a traditional name. Neither of my parents have a traditional name, and they probably won't ever have one. But, you know, what I noticed is, too, because I used to teach in the language nest up on Haida Gwaii, I used to teach, and so babies would come, brand new babies would come to the program, and, you know, they'd crawl around, they'd hear us speaking in the language, doing nursery rhymes, counting, they'd hear sentences, you know, they would learn really fast. And the tiniest toddlers would be dancing traditional style dances, and they'd be singing, they'd be drumming. And I noticed the same thing since I've moved here to Squamish territory as well, in Musqueam and Tsleil-Waututh territory. The cutest, they're so cute, the tiniest regalia, you know, dancing with their whole selves. It brings so much pride in every single person that is there to witness it, because, you know, it means that our culture has had this huge resurgence. And I also notice, you know, there's language, you know, so when our languages used to be endangered, now we know that it's going to survive because these really tiny kids are speaking our language every day when they go to school. You know, rather than being offered French, they're being offered our own Indigenous languages, which means so much more. And they sing our songs, you know, they have dance class. There's so many things that are happening. And it makes me really, really happy to see that. I just get overwhelmed. Like, I could feel myself standing taller, breathing so deeply when I see little ones, you know, which are really, they're really like knee-high to grasshoppers kind of thing, but they throw themselves right into it. And I totally love it. And when I was on Haida Gwaii in October, you know, my book, Haida Nation, it really is a primary textbook. And I also have another one that's another primary textbook, and it's about Haida Gwaii, We Are Home. And it's really about Haida Gwaii, but Haida Nation is a compare and contrast book about Haida children during the ancestors' time and Haida children today. And I'm so glad that I got to visit Haida Gwaii, and I got to tell Haida students that wherever I go in the world, I brag about them. Because when I was a kid, like I said, it wasn't okay for me and my peers to sing, dance, or speak our language, or even have a name. And these kids from, you know, like from babyhood, you know, are encouraged to do all these exact same things. They participate in our feasts, and it's really incredible to watch them. You know, they don't really need instruction when it's time to dance. They dance exactly like the adults dance, because it's part of their DNA. And I love talking about how they speak the language so much better than I ever could, you know, because they're taught by their own grandparents, you know, and it's an incredible time to be able to witness that. And to see and know that these children are going to grow up and they're going to be teaching the next generation, you know, all the stuff that they know. I feel really good knowing that.
Well, top way. You know, even when I was going through school, you know, my younger life, in textbooks, as, you know, when you would open them, it wasn't really mentioned as much, maybe one, if you were lucky, two pages, if you were really lucky, to see, like, you know, the definition or the description of, you know, Indigenous people, especially here in Alberta. And since the 215 discovery, you know, we're starting to see a difference in that. And you had mentioned that, you know, because of your book that you wrote, almost in a textbook-like format, as an author and a writer yourself, do you strongly believe that we should see more of that in textbooks where it gives a better definition, if not to rewrite it in a sense, for education purposes, as to be seen not only in elementary schools, but middle schools and high schools, as well as post-secondary.
Definitely. I 100% agree. And I do recall, you know, that a textbook company from Toronto contacted me out of the blue by email, and they asked me to review a paragraph that someone on their team had, or on their staff had written about Haida Indigenous people. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. Hold on here. I said, you need to rethink this whole paragraph. And I said, you need to actually get a Haida Indigenous person to write this paragraph for you. I can tell that it was a settler that wrote it. You know, we need to be telling our own stories in our own words. And I gave them a list of people they could contact that I could find for them if they so chose, you know, whether they be a weaver or they be a carver or they be a singer or, you know, a drummer, you know, dancer, any of those things. I let them know, you know, like there was quite an extensive list that they could have chosen someone to do this, but they asked me to do it. And I forgot all about it, you know, like I did it. It took me a while to get it all together and everything like that. And I remember, I don't know how many years later it was, I was performing at a middle school and I telling these stories, and these grade 7, 8 girls came running up to me and they said, you're in our textbook, you know. I'm like, what? No. I'm not, there's no way, you're confusing me with someone else. And they said, no, we'll show you. And they ran to their locker and they brought this book, and there I was in the middle of their textbook. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So I contacted the textbook company and said, hey, and they said, oh, well, we asked you to do this. Remember, you know, like I kind of reprimanded them and said, no, you cannot, we need to write our own stories, just like you were saying. You know, about our textbooks, you know, and all the information. It has to be information written by Indigenous people right across the country. So regardless of the territory that we're in, so if it's Inuvialuit or Inuit in the north, you know, or if it's the Plains people, if it's Cree, if it's, you know, people from Sutina, you know, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing their names correctly, but, you know, if it's Ojibwe, if it's Anishinaabe, Mohawk, you know, right across the country, you know, really there are enough people who have this knowledge, and all these textbook companies can contact all of them and have them write their own portions about our culture, about our history, about our stories, about our language, you know, about our traditions, our houses, you know, how they used to be, and maybe how our feast houses might be today. You know, they might look exactly the same as the way the ancestors had them in the past. But, you know, I really feel strongly that it's possible. I mean, these textbook companies can no longer say, well, we don't have anybody, we don't know anyone. Well, that's simply not true anymore.
That's true. Yeah. No. And you know, like I said, it's, you know, over the years, like I've been out of school now for several years, almost 10 years now. But back then, I just remember like the only thing that was mentioned was the buffalo jump and nothing else. There was nothing else mentioning of any of the chiefs, the culture or anything like that. Heck, even when I was in school, I remember at one point we had language class, like they would actually teach Cree. And one day, just without any warning, they just said, we're not teaching Cree anymore. They taught other languages like Spanish, Arabic, and French, but Cree was just removed. And then shortly after, they would replace it with Native Cultural Arts, which would teach you how to bead, which was okay. But what happened to learning Cree? Like, I was enjoying it. I remember we were given a an ingredients in Cree of how to make bannock. And my bannock came out like a hockey puck, but I was like, I didn't learn Cree fresh, you know, fresh growing up and everything else. And, you know, and I don't know if it's like this, you know, up in BC, but I know for here in Alberta, when I used to ask my mom, I used to say, Mom, like, I want to learn how to speak Cree. And for years, I didn't even know that I was speaking it because I wasn't told it was a Cree word, like my Grandma Bella, who I always used to refer as my Grandma Bella, or Chapon, which means great-grandmother in Cree. I didn't even know that's what it meant. I just used to say, hi, Chapon, and she'd be, hi, little one, and all that stuff, right? But I didn't know that was Cree until when I started working here. I was like, really? Chapon is Cree? So, you know, and so in regards to the language as well, you know, how important is it for those that, you know, may not have grown up surrounded by the language to get involved into learning how to speak the language, especially when it comes to Haida language as well?
I think it's especially important. It's one of the things that I keep hearing over and over again, you know, like, from a lot of Indigenous people, whether they be elders, you know, mainly it's elders, but if we do not have the language, then we do not have the culture. And there is so much in our languages that cannot be translated into English. We just don't have the language for it. And one of the things that I learned early on, once I was learning our language, is how there are these huge portions of our language that can't be translated into English, and it's actually much more descriptive. Our languages are way more beautiful than English ever could be. English, it feels very limiting to me, and all of our Indigenous languages, you know, a lot of it has to do with verbs, so they're action words. Not always, but a big part of it has to do with that, because our language is a living language. And the other part that I noticed about our language is it's really quite humorous. You know, like, Indigenous people are the funniest people on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Yes.
With, you know, and it could be in English or not, but one of the things that I did notice is listening to elders telling stories with each other, most of it is just laughter the whole day. And it made me think, well, I want to learn more of this language so that I can get in on that, because I love laughing. I mean, everybody was laughing, even if they didn't know what they were laughing about. But later on, if you know, like, I remember even hearing from my father, because his father, my paternal Chinny or grandpa, he spoke the old dialect of our language, and it no longer exists, because he was raised by his own grandparents. They were very old people, and they raised him in a very traditional way. And because he went to Kokolita residential school in Sardis here in BC, close to Chilliwack, here on the Lower Mainland, he didn't teach his language to any of his 10 kids. But and he was the storyteller that I knew about. But my dad said he remembers his dad telling him stories about how, you know, pretty much every evening, everyone would go down onto the beach, because the village is right, you know, all facing the beach. They would light a bonfire and they'd sit around the fire and they would tell stories all night long and just laugh and laugh. The kids would be around and they'd get to hear it. And my dad must have been there at one point, because, you know, he was trying to ask his dad, like, well, what does this mean? And his dad would try and tell him, but he'd say, but, you know, it doesn't sound funny when I translate it into English. It's only funny in our language. You know, it just loses a huge component of, you know, the story is just completely lost once you translate it into English. It's funnier in our language. And that's what I found too, is like, you know, whether we're around other Indigenous people or not, we've got a great sense of humor and we laugh about a lot of things, which I totally love, because laughter is healing. And
yeah.
I believe tears are healing too. And actually both are good, you know, but, and we're meant to express all of our emotions, but yeah, I do speak my language every day, and I translate, you know, into English, because I'm often surrounded by people who don't understand it. I am mentoring my youngest child in the language for the third year, and after just 4 sessions, we were speaking fluently with each other, and it made us laugh even harder. We just thought, how could this happen so quickly?
That was Kung Jade from Squamish First Nation in British Columbia. You're listening to Voices of Our People on the Wind Speaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker Tremblay. Next, I sit down and continue my conversation with Charlie Fox from Kainai Nation in Southern Alberta. Being as an elder, Charlie, you know, with that importance of that role, you have so many people coming up to you for, you know, advice, and also with to be educated within, you know, the culture, the language, the background of the Blackfoot. So when it comes to with the times that we're now in, you know, with the Truth and Reconciliation movement, and as well as the you know, with the hunger and the drive for those both Indigenous and non-Indigenous to know more about the Blackfoot culture, for those that are from the Blackfoot descendants that haven't grown up with the language per se or the culture itself, what would your advice be to those that, you know, want to learn how to speak the Blackfoot language and to tap into the vein more into their culture and, as you said earlier, their identity?
That's a good question. The thing that I see, is that in our language, and having an oral history, we have a really good understanding of our language, you know, and the concepts and the different ceremonies and whatnot, what all the significance of these things that our people did in the past. I guess you could say our culture is embedded in our language. And so we didn't have the crutches that we have today, you know. If there's something that you want to research, you know, it's right in front of you. You know, we live in a fast world, you know, as computers are there. Amukka, Batapiu, Sinoni, Amukiskukti, and Madam is to come on, Moki Batapiu, Sinoni, and Moki's to go to meet up, Stokokitsi. Okay, Amukka Eastern on the Hanister Batapiu, Amukiskukti. The Gamad is sleep by Moksinakshi. He's done on a. He's done a always the Matsuits. Ah, was gonna man, she's no hacked spum mock soap. Yaksigani of bar, apple mozi of a Moses gar. Well, Makitapi Moses gar. He's the Matsak. Ennak kuuttaa pummuutsi joukka mu päätä piuksin tuonne. Maama tapioa, että mii, on sopottista piitsimisi, niin päätä piuksin ja kenen meistä mitsi uukkina tuumaakin. Maksi, maksistot siis simo. Kinapi, tapiksi atsknimmeeksi amokki tsiippuksennoni. Kihtomakkoani siu anmo. Sen haasi tasknimmeeksi Reitsis, kun teistä tuutsi, pää paksuvat teit siipojousi. Ja niistä tuu samohatut siinä, kun puu jäätsi, tuu pääosin skein. Niin puhsi, niin maata tahtaisi sitä piu. Samohatut siinä kaatsi, tuu pää. Okei, maassa sitä piua. Ja metsistä tuusi, mahkeit siipojissa, niin taakkuttamista. Tuota mitkä näistä jo aamu annuksissa kuihkia. Tämä kohtaa se tapii jo piu. Aki tuutsispa niin ei pohseni. Aki tuutat sitä piitsispa. Musta jään huomiksi niin kuin käy. Aki taisi se tapia. Niin tuutsimia niin itse pohseni oli. Sen jäädään jo. Mä käksemme tuutsiksi, niin minä niin. Itse asiassa toimaa niissä tapanissa nimiä. Käkää johti minä olen. Aika niiltä haaksi, niin kuin se ei. Säkset tuoksen ja. Aika tässä saatsin maailman täppiin. Aika maapaa johti siippuja. Aamuksi ohtaakin tahtaa minun ohteippuja. Käksemme tuutsiksi. Niin päähänkin nähtyksi niistä teippuja. Se mitä konehtii, niin tämä kutsii ikseltä pystyt siipiin. Pakotat sitä piitsiipiin, mutta siipuuhu sinne. Kikaamata pitsiskin, niin maatsi tukia on. Mulla siitä sikin, niin maatsi kiinnosti. Aatsi sitä piikunksi puu käyksi. Ihpä voista matkaa, mutta siipuuhu sinne. Niin. Enkä niitä apsakakaa piua. Aksta mii kaatuu kukuus, ne on yks maksin saakki, tsiippuuh sinne omi. Ouki, kenna huuksi, aika nii opaamuksi, ei saa ne, miksän hallinnis tapaa pii. Nistu no hatsitsin, nukuusiksi no hatsitsin mii puhia, niin tää maadan oi, ei taapsu pii tsiippuihinsa, ja otsista pii tsimia. Tää idänistiu, nakkuts. Iskinen ja oe. Ja niinkin siistä tuomissa on. Ja mahatsi. Maksikseni saamuk niin teippo juuri. Kyllä kaamukset jäänestä vähän. Taisi sitä piuvi. Tässä piipulki niin saakaa johtsimia. Anjaako tuutsikseni minä. Ika kakkumaa piu ammukkaa. Kiistan noinan. Hänestä päätä piu, kaamo, niin teippo jo piu, niin toistamattista kiu piu, niin toatsi muistu piu. Muukin siipuuksi, no niin, kenni onko se mitä hänestä, mä oon tapi, aikin sitä puomi, sen haamakani on, a kukaatsi, niin jäkitsi. Mä ajattelin, että ei jää päätsi muistaa, niin se on muskin tapiiksi. No hän saa keit siipu jo kiistun, no mä vastu mukaan olla stuupaatseksi. No kenen saa johtaisi, kun näitä apioon niin. Aikasta niin. Aikasta matse muistuu. Aikasta muhtu kiipu niin. Matse muistaa niiksi, kun näitä apioon. Ikä mä en naakin minne kännistä apioon. Kriikaa kutsuksi pommoksaan. Anne miksi sitä piiksi, haikikotsi sitä piitsi, hän jääkö kutsis pommoksia. Mitä pii, niin joa piiva mokkaa, kun tsiipuuksin oli. Miten mä ajattelin sitä sijoa, mutta onko sitä piikaa, eikö mä olen sitä teippuja. Mutta mun olisi kauheista matsua, että pistää aamua. Mutta voista matsua, että pitää agomanista, että miehistä matsua. Mistä niistä sijoat? Haksta miehistä matsuutspi? Haksta muhtas sitä piio? Saavin jo päivä, miten sitä matsuutski? Niin tennoutoupi, jaamo, niin tää ei. Jaaksas tiippis, kyllä tää on. Haksta muhtas kanoutis, niin on niin. Okei. moni dai mama tapi miai utawa istamatsu pipi mama kita pio kita kita istamatsu kita nye kita pumu mi uste otis kini pi kita idam uhtan istiyo kita iksi kimmo kamista kita pio kimnye kita kita kimmi isi kita jaks pumu isi anye kita kita tunya Mungkin heti stunno ki päätä piirsin, on mukin mä piipitsini, mumkita piiksi, asita piiksi, aoista matsia, niin päätä piirsin. Ajaksi kuotsia, läikse. Äska pinnia, läikse. Äsimia, läikse. Kii. Kävin jo kestsaakatsia, läikse. Mahtsiikaakin mahtia. Näikse, kun sä esityksessä. Aamuskei.
So I have to ask Charlie as my final question for you before we wrap things up here is in regards to what you've done in your life and the impacts that you've made across, you know, the southern portion of Alberta and of course Alberta as a whole as well. What would your advice be to another advice piece? What would it be to, excuse me, to those that want to pursue a similar route that you've taken? Because, you know, as Indigeneity, we're not only just storytellers, but we're also, we've also been known to be great leaders. What would your advice be to be a great leader as well as to make an impact positively within your community?
Yeah, I talked a little bit about that. In the in the things that I said and for us, you know, that living in the fast world, you know, we I think to a large extent, you know, we have to abide by all of the rules and regulations and laws and policies that are out there. And, of course, those were not created by us, you know. And also, you know, the qualifications that we have to have, you know, to for employment and all the other, you know, that the hoops that we have to go through to make a life for ourselves, you know, all those things were not a part of our way of life, you know, in the past, you know. So for people to be able to have that drive, you know, that little bit of influence, I find, you know, that the greatest experience is to go back into our ways, you know, especially our spiritual ways, you know. And for me, going back into our spiritual ways grounded me and gave me all the, attributes, you know, to be able to live in this world. And by that I mean, you know, the elders in their own role as elders, you know, it's always been their role to help educate our young people And so in doing that, you know, they acquired that kindness in their life experience. And they do that teaching with kindness. They pass on their knowledge, their blessings, all the experience that they acquired, they pass them on to our young people. And so that, going back and learning about that plus our spiritual ways is what's going to give us the foundation to be able to cope in this fast world, you know. So I explained that a little bit in the the words that I said, you know, in Blackwood. And look,
computers, cell phones, and everything's at your fingertips. And
And they're sort of a crutch, you know, in some ways, you know, to, you know, we, why should we learn something about this and that? If you can just acquire that in a few minutes through a computer. So the thing that I see when in their lives, you know, when they come up against problems and issues and they need resolution to their problems, you know, that's when they sort of maybe turn back to our ways, you know, to get to seek help, you know, to go to an elder to get their blessings and face painting and prayers and sun dances. They go back to those things, you know. And that's when I think, you know, that's where they can get, you know, the help that's really needed to give them that the basics, you know, to be able to get it. These life lessons, like when you talk about them, the elders and what they experience as a whole lifetime, you know, and to be able to pass on all the knowledge and that, it takes time, you know, to do that. And I'm not saying it can't be done, but for young people, if they feel that they need that little extra help, you know, to get by the coping skills, you know, in this modern world, they need to know where they came from. And that's what's really going to help them. That's a little bit of advice I can suggest, you know, to our young people today.
That was Charlie Fox from Kainai Nation in Southern Alberta on Voices of Our People. I'd like to thank today's special guests for joining us, Kung Janae and Charlie Fox. Tune in next Thursday for more Voices of Our People on the Windspeaker Radio Network.